the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare the tables before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The reading of God's word. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and doing of his word. At this time, as we proceed with our service today, we'll have our opening prayer and scripture reading by Elder Paul Harris, followed by a musical selection from the Tabernacle of Praise Choir.
Let us pray. Father God, we're so grateful, Lord, that we can call you Father, realizing we're your dear children. Lord, you said weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So, Lord, we pray right now that that joy will come right now. We pray that you will come in and comfort this family, Lord. Let them feel your presence, Father, as we celebrate his life today. Lord, we know that you are a prayer-answering God. You draw close to the brokenhearted. So, Lord, draw nigh unto us right now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning they which are asleep, that they sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, he will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen."
Oh,
Can we just bring that out one more time? You are the source of my strength. All together. Come on, family. Thank you. If you believe that, just join in with this choir. Amen. 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 Come on, family. Amen. 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 Can we just put our hands together and worship God in this place? We have a little bit of feedback. Can we take some of the... Just a little bit, take a little bit out if you don't mind. I know we're here to celebrate the life of Dewan. Our hearts are heavy, but I believe that we can still give God praise in his house. Is that all right? Can we just worship God for a moment or two? Did he wake you up this morning? Did he start you on your way? I get it. I don't want to be too churchy, but I just have to give God praise because he's worthy to be praised as we work out this feedback. I am so appreciative of the fact that God has allowed us to come here under these circumstances to the Owens family. I haven't met the family in its entirety, but I've spoken with Brittany, and we praise God for you, and we celebrate the life of your dad. Our hearts are heavy to the sisters and the brothers and all of the family. I know I haven't met any of you, and it's kind of crazy at times when you come to these type of services and the person that is funeralizing your loved one, you've never seen them, never met them. You don't know what bag of tricks they have up their sleeve. You don't know where they're coming from, but you are entrusting your loved ones. Amen. If this was my phone, I probably would answer it. But that's just a glimpse of who I am. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. I am a pastor, but I am a person. If you cut me, I used to say I'll bleed. Well, now let me take that back. If you cut me, I used to say I'll cut you back, but now I say I bleed because I've been changed. I've been delivered. I'm not the person that I used to be. And this is my mission and my aim and my purpose is to tell as many as I can about a soon coming Savior. And I believe that these moments like this is just an opportunity that God uses to draw hearts closer to him. When your loved one passes, it's so overwhelming, it's so devastating and shaken to the core. But God just wants us to know that you can lean on me. And this is an opportunity, family, that I want to afford you to lean on Jesus. Again, my name is Pastor Jonathan B. Fields. I am the senior pastor of this amazing church. For those that may not know, if you have to use the restroom or the facility, it is located downstairs. You can check with our ushers or our deacons, and they are more than ready to assist you. At this time, we want to move briskly through the service as laid out in the program. We'll have a special tribute by friends. We're asking at least 3 minutes. And I know sometimes we multiply and sometimes we add, but very seldom do we subtract when we get to this portion of the service. So I'm going to ask if we can keep it within the 3 minutes, that would be most appreciative, followed by our acknowledgments, and then we'll have another musical selection from the Tabernacle of Praise Mass Choir. So we'll open the mic up for those that choose to come and share at this time. If I stand next to you, that means that your time is not running out, but it has ran out. Amen. So if I stand next to you, don't throw the elbows. Just understand the preacher is trying to get to the next person. So if you have words of acknowledgement, tribute, friends, we invite you to come at this time. Everyone is a little shy. Oh, thank you.
I'm not shy, and Dwan is not shy. My name is Beverly. I'm Stuart Anderson. Dwan was a friend of mine. Dwan could get on my nerves from the top to the bottom, but he expected me to give him a hug every Saturday morning, and I did. He was a handsome man. It was kind of good to hang in there and get a hug from him. But what he would do on Saturday mornings, me and a few others, we try to keep God's house neat and clean. But Dwan would roll up in here, y'all. We'd be up here singing, first of all, and he got to come in. Everybody in the choir. That was every week. But what would get under my skin with him, he would have some suckers, y'all. Anybody know he loves candy? If you know Dwan, you know that he loves candy, and I do too. So he would get in my favor because he would bring me some candy every Saturday. I have a little hand out, I give him a little charm sucker and be glad. But he would take his sucker and he would break it up on the floor before we had all this carpet in here. And I'd tell him, you bust one more piece of candy in here on this floor, I'm gonna bust your head. And that would just tickle him. But Dwan was a friend of mine and we laughed a lot. So, you know, this would be a day you'll be sad. But when you remember Dwan, he was a funny kind of person, and I
would say he was a friend of mine. Amen. Good morning. My name is Peter Campbell. I've known Dwan since he was a young boy. He had him and one of my brothers were best friends. I know the whole family. Dwan sharpest dressers I know. I mean, he used to dress all the time. And he used to get on my nerves because he was always trying to get on me. You know, but he was, the wife was down to earth and he was full of life, a couple types of persons, you know. And the only thing that I'm going to say is that he was truly his, like his major deal now. Amen.
Did we have one more? They doing well. Did we have one more? Yes, ma'am, in the back. Please come up. Go ahead. Amen. All right. Is there another one from the friends? Amen. As the praise team make their way back up, I am a friend, considered a family. Dwan, I first encountered Dwan when we first moved to St. Louis. I was still living in Minnesota. My wife and I, we were still living in Minnesota. Our family, we found a home. And Dwan was so gracious, along with Sister Bev and some of the other members, was able to stop by the house and pull it together for us. From what I understand, and don't quote me on this, he didn't do any cleaning, but he did keep the conversation rolling.
He went to the store every time we needed something, so we needed him.
They needed him, amen. But we praise God for Dewan at this time, the praise team. Amen. At this time, the program calls for the life reflections, the reading of silently of the obituary. So give you a moment to read silently, followed by our family tribute. At this time, if we have any life reflections or any tributes from the family, we invite you to come at this time. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Sis, where my sis at that just came up here? What's her name? Shay. Shay. It's nothing against you, okay? My bad, all right? But she can't come up here, okay?
Praise the Lord, everyone. I thank God for everyone that came out, friends and family and enemies, to make sure he's gone. But anyway, my brother, he was something else, but he made me laugh. And we always told each other, I always called him brother. And I said, I love you, brother, but you're making it so hard for me to help you. And he always get up around the house, he'll say, hallelujah. And now things go on, and I hear him say, hallelujah. And it used to make me smile because I knew he had God, he obtained God in his heart. And then he had his own personal relationship with God. I don't know, no matter what his struggles were, no matter what he was going through, I would always tell them, I don't care what, how things seem around you. Don't go by that. God got you. Just keep on praying. God got you. You're just going through. He's trying to raise you to be a man. That's all. But he didn't understand it. But my brother was well loved. He really was. And I hate he's gone. I miss him so much. But anyway, him and my husband, they got pretty close. And I thank God for that. But I just thank God that he had a home to come to where he can praise God. And you might not remember me, but when he sang in the choir, he asked me to come, and I came. Me and Evangelist, we both came when he was singing. I forgot the name of the song, but I just know he sang in the choir, and he asked me to come, and I came. So I thank God that he had a home to come to, someone to present him, you know, and someone that knew him and knew his heart. But I just thank and praise God that my brother was sick. He was sicker than he thought he was. But anyway, he still loved people. He talked about people. He'll talk about you now. He really would do that. But he will make you smile afterwards. So you can't hate him because he's going to make you smile. He loved in his own way. He had a way that he loved different people and stuff, you know. He talks about Paisdale a lot. Thank you, Paisdale, for coming out. Woo, woo.
Amen. Yeah, I think that choir moment, my sister, was before my time. I don't remember DeJuan singing in the choir since I've been here.
He did, the men's chorus. The men had a
date. Yeah, but that was before my time, though, right? Yeah, that was before my time. That's all right. That's all right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Any other family member that would like to come and have a word? And we ask if you can speak in the mic. Be much appreciative. Amen. Amen. Can you make it up here?
Good morning. Thanks. I'm thanking everybody for coming out. I'm the one that really don't have much to say, you know, but I have to stand up on behalf of my brother. You know, we did have our good times. We had our bad times, like siblings do. You know, Anthony was bullheaded. He got on my nerves too. But at the end of the day, that was my brother. That was my, regardless of what he did, stupid. I mean, that was my brother. I just want to say this because it's just in my head. The look that he gives when somebody does something dumb. Then he turn his head real slow and look at that person. But I just had to let that out. Had to let it out. And I thank everybody for coming out.
Amen. Amen. Can we just do a temperature check right quick? Is that all right? Can we just check the temperature in the house? God is good?
All the time.
Okay, we're good. We're good. I just had to check. Did we have another family member before we move on? Yes, please. Come on, sir. Amen.
Hello. I am DeJuan's only and oldest brother. Yeah, he look good just like I do. Yeah. Excuse me? Hey, he did. And one thing I loved about him, he loved to make me fight with him. That's how I learned how to fight. We fought as kids, you know. I look better. I say, I look better than you. Well, I'm the youngest. I say, well, I'm the oldest. Yeah. So I'ma miss him. Like everyone says, he did have his way, but he could never get on my nerves, never. He said, that's what he loved about me. He said, I can't get you. I said, nope. I said, you taught me well all these years. So God bless his soul. Thank everyone for coming out. And I love you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. You know, DeJuan's life, you know, it had its challenges. The little time that I was able to spend with him. And we don't need to take that walk down memory lane, but we know that DeJuan was a very humorous, as it was stated in the program. Sometimes you have to just get a little distance there, but overall he was a good dude. Enjoyed him, my time with him. Sharp dresser. I used to stand next to him when we would walk out the church. I would stand in the back along with my wife and shake hands. But when DeJuan would come by, I would always stand next to him and put my feet next to his shoes and size him up to see if I need to get him. But no, he was a good dude. Loved him much, and we definitely will be missed. At this time, I'm going to invite up Sister Beverly, and she will take us to share a song for us. And let me ask while she's coming, is Sister McDonald, will she be sharing a word or not? I'm good to go? Amen. Amen. What'd she say? Yes, you go first, and then I'll go after you. Amen. Sister Beverly.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunderous praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance the slumbering light.
Christ in a moment then we shall behold him then face to face we shall behold we shall behold him yes we shall
Thank you, Miss Beverly. That was so beautiful. Hallelujah. Come on, just say hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Come on, give God glory in his house. Say hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We are here. First of all, I want to give honor to the leadership. There you go, Pastor. Pastor Jonathan, how you doing? Good. Paul Harris. See, and all of the Tabernacle of Praise family and all the Harris family, it's been, about 20 years since I've been in this place. I am so grateful today and happy and elated because my brother found this church family, and I've known them since they were all the way in Kirkwood church, and he found him on his own. I didn't introduce him. So I believe it was a part of God's plan for him to come here. And I am so elated. I'm not sad that my brother has passed. I believe he's in the hands of the Lord. Amen. I know he's in the hands of the Lord. And because of this great house that he has come to. And he was faithful to, I believe, yes. Amen. And so I'm just here to share a few little words. First of all, my memories. And I want to honor his daughter and his sons, his daughters, and his sons, his grandchildren, his grandchild in this place. And because I know that can be hard on these wonderful places, but you don't have to worry. Your dad is fine. Okay. So I just want to say that. You know, God is good. So I remember when my sister and I were younger, and it's five of us. It's Reggie, it was Dwan, Tammy, Carla, and then myself. Dwan was 10 years older than me. Okay, so I remember when we were younger, and I was so proud of my brother because I remember going to his football games. He was a quarterback at Normandy High Senior High School. He was a Viking. How you doing, Miss Campbell? and who's that? Eric, how you doing? They all went to Normandy. And we used to be so proud of him. As a little girl, I was so proud to go to his ball game with all these older kids playing, and then you had the pep rally, and he was the biggest thing at that moment, the quarterback for Normandy High School. I was proud of my brother. He used to, around the house, he used to have this big drum set. He was like a professional drummer. A lot of people didn't know that. He used to bang them drums, used to drive us crazy, but it sounded really good. We loved that. Reggie and Dewan used to take my sister and I wrestling. They used to slam us to the ground. They used to do those Hulk Hogan moves on us. I mean, I'm telling you, they used to tear, they didn't care. They was like, bam, down to the ground. We loved every bit of it, though. We loved it. We were so proud. We always thought we had some handsome big brothers, first of all. Beautiful sister. Oh, Lord. I'm telling you, yeah, no, seriously. He was so popular when he was growing up and as he have gotten older. These last 6 months of his life, I've gotten even very, very close to my brother. I used to talk to him. I moved to California. I used to talk to him like 3 or 4 times a week throughout the day. And I'm truly going to miss him. But I want to leave everyone with these words. I am not sad. I'm not down. I've come to terms with his death because I know that he is in the hands of the Lord. Amen. He is in the hands of the Lord because he learned how to call on the Lord in his time of trouble. You can't even begin to call on him unless you meet some trouble. Everyone is going to have trouble at some point in time in their lives. Everyone going to have some type of trouble. So it's, you can't look down on him for what he's gone through in life. You have no idea what circumstance have caused him to do certain things in his life. But God hasn't turned towards him. His love is constant. The Lord's love is forever. It's unchanging. It's everlasting. And, I'm telling you, when he passed and he saw the Lord face to face, I know the Lord Jesus welcomed him with open arms. Amen. He is the one you need to call on. He said, call on me and I will answer. He said, call on me and I will save you. Didn't he say that? He wasn't just saying some just words. I mean, they're not going to save you and not going to help you. The Lord is real, everyone. If you find yourself in any type of trouble in your life, he is the one you call on. Friends and family, they'll fail you. Friends and family, they can only help so much, but they will fail. I'm for real. Call on the Lord. He will answer. He will save you. He will rescue you. He'll pick you up. I'm telling you, he'll plant you. Amen. Call on him, and he will change your life forever. And I know my brother, he has called on the Lord so many times. I'm telling you, my brother is something else, like everybody says. Everyone said the same thing, so I'm not going to repeat what everybody has said. But what I want everyone to know, especially my family, let's draw close. Let's draw nigh to him. He said he'll draw nigh to us. Amen. He said that he will save us and set us free. He would do these things for us. And I don't want to take too much time. I just wanted to say that, Pastor. But I thank God for my brother. I know he is in his hands.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister. We are so appreciative of those words. I didn't know he played the drums. He had a group. What was the name of his group?
My
Okay. Y'all used to sing the Jackson songs. I would go there, but I'm a, boy, I told you, y'all gonna learn. Well, we praise God for DeJuan. Again, God is definitely in control, and this is definitely a heavy load to bear. I know I was taken aback when I received the call from my elder that DeJuan had passed. I just spoke with him about a month or so ago. I know he was going through some things. Some challenges that he was facing. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as my sister said, you know, we all have struggles. We all have challenges. We all go through. And we want to, you know, just get into that place where we're able to turn those challenges and those moments over to God and let him lead us through it. I believe God makes no mistakes. I heard a sermon just a few weeks ago. I was at a pastor's convention with our family, and one of the messages was God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. And I know sometimes we can't understand it. We can't figure it out. We don't know what's going on. But at the end of the day, God is in control. And believe it or not, if God were to show you everything that was unfolding in your life, amen, you will either touch it, you will either try to duck, you will try to move away from it, because what God see, we don't see. God understands exactly what we need in order to get to that next level, to get to that next space, to get to that next place. We really don't know what the next moment. If anybody in here can tell me what the next 5 minutes will hold, I would say I'll listen to you, but I'm not even going to listen to you because you don't know. I'm going to tell you don't know. But God does, and I thank God for the life of DeJuan. Let me just say this real quick, and I'm going to get out of the way. I'm still getting used to operating these things here, but God is going to bless us anyhow. Is there a word from the Lord? I believe there is a word from the Lord, and it's found in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Just three verses. I want to read that in your hearing. It says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Today I just want to share with the family, with you, that there is a place of rest. There is a place of rest. Father God, in the name of Jesus, again, we're so appreciative of the fact that you chose us, that it is by your design that each and every one of us are in this building today. We know that we take nothing for granted, but in all things we give thanks. So we ask that you will speak to our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen again. God makes no mistakes. There is a place of rest for every last one of us. Have you ever gotten tired before? Anybody's ever been tired? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ever feel the need for some rest? Yeah. Amen. My wife and I was asking my wife earlier today. I remember one time we took a vacation, and when we got home, we were so tired. We said, man, we need a vacation from the vacation. I mean, you're supposed to go away to get some rest, and then you go away, and the vacation is about as stressful as the stress you left at home. And I said, baby, we need a vacation from the vacation. But you know, sometimes we are all, you know, restless and need a space to gather our thoughts. We are weary people because we rush from one activity to the next. It seems as if you can't find any footing. It's that sooner you accomplish this, there is something else. I think back in the day we used to call it, whatever happened can happen. It seemed like there's always something going on. There's always something happening. But when I look at verse 29, it tells us that we are to rest our souls. God will give us rest for our souls. He is not talking about physical rest, but he's simply talking about spiritual rest. Amen. He's talking about spiritual rest because the truth of the matter is most of us, most people are weary in our spirits today. There is so much going on in the world. You look at politics, it's stressful. You go to Walmart, the price is going up and the packages are getting smaller. Stressful. They got you waiting in line like cattle. Stressful. Seems like every turn you take, every move you make is always something that is going on to press up against your mind. Most of us are weary in our spirits. Henry David Thoreau said it like this. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Many are troubled and agitated in their souls. They try to find rest in all the wrong places. Some look for rest in a mate. Some look for rest in a bottle. Some look for rest in a pill. Some look for rest in entertainment, in friends, in pleasure, in jobs. And some even try to find rest in money. People look everywhere and try everything in effort to find rest for their souls. Nothing, I mean nothing, and no one in this world can give you the peace and the rest that God can give you. I know it, I know it. I believe I am preaching to the choir. I believe you already know that, that you can look high and look low and that there is nobody that you can turn to that can give you that peace that passes understanding. But our text tells us, Jesus simply reminds us, he says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. While many people run here and there trying to find that peace, Jesus is simply saying so calmly, come unto me, and I will give you that rest. Many of us, we run from it. We try to hide from it. But the truth of the matter is you will never find the rest and the peace you need until you turn it over to Jesus. There is a place of rest, a place of quietness, a place of peace, and his name is simply Jesus. Come on, everybody in the house, come on, say Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, there is no name above that name, no name that is close to that name. I've searched high, I've searched low, I've looked far and I look wide, and I can't find nobody like Jesus. There is a place of rest, family of God, a place that our souls and our minds can find peace and rest, and a place that Jesus only provides. It is in this verse, through a series of commands, Jesus invites you and me to enter into a place of spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to get out of the way. Number one, Jesus is calling us, in this text, this is a call to salvation. That's right, a place that Jesus delivers. This is an essence of salvation. See, salvation is coming to Jesus. It is not coming to church, a creed, or coming to man, or coming to a denomination, coming to the altar, coming to the baptism. No. It's simply coming to Jesus. Salvation is coming to Jesus. First John puts it like this. He says that he is inviting all of us, every last one of us, to come unto him. No one in this building is exempt. There was no one in this room that Jesus is saying, okay, no, well, you know, you could come, but no. This isn't the God that we serve. He says, come. That means you, my brother. Come. That means you, my sisters. Come. That means you, my family. Come unto me, and I will give you the rest that you need. So this is a plea that Jesus is calling to deliver us. He also puts it like this, a people he describes. He said he is referring to those he has been dealing with in their lives. I believe DeJuan, God was dealing with DeJuan. I believe God was calling DeJuan. I believe that, family of God. You know how I know? Because I spent time with him, and I can see that God was moving on him in a way. But DeJuan, you just have to answer the call. Family of God, I believe somebody sitting out here today, God has been calling you, been nudging you, been tapping you on your shoulders, been nudging you, been waking you up at night, and all you have to do is simply answer the call. You see, because God makes no mistakes. He wants all of us to know who he is, because the truth of the matter is he will come, he will crack the sky, and it is not his purpose, his plan, or his design for any of us to be lost, but all should come into repentance. You see, one thing I learned about funerals, family of God, and I'm beginning to walk into this season and into this favor, that this is a time where God uses as an opportunity to draw people who most likely won't come to church, but you'll come to the funeral. And it is my responsibility, family of God, is to make sure I do my due diligence and share with you, thus saith the Lord. Because once you leave here, who knows, you may not show back up in a church again until. Do I have to say it, or do you know what I'm talking about? If you know what I'm talking about, say, I know what you're talking about. Talk back to me if you can hear me now. This is an opportunity, family of God, for Jesus to enter himself into your life. This is a time where Jesus has set up. Now, you know, we pray for DeJuan. We want to spend time with DeJuan. We're going to miss DeJuan. But let me tell you something, family of God. The truth of the matter is none of us in here know when our last moment will be. None of us. None of us know what's going to happen in that. That's why I said earlier, I said, who can tell me what's going to go down in the next 5 minutes? Nobody knows what's going to go down, but God does. And so I want to make sure that when you leave this place, you will leave here knowing that you have been invited to get to know this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords, who I really do believe DeJuan had a relationship with. Now, I want to be honest with you. I try to be as honest and transparent as I can, because I don't want you to think I'm just another average preacher that would get up here and talk good about everybody that comes rolling through here. Because let's be real, everybody that laid down in their rest weren't all good. Can we be honest in here today? There have been folk that have done some things, have said some things, weren't trying to get their life right, didn't want to get their life right, and the preacher would get up here and say, oh, he was so wonderful soul. And you, the family, know the preacher. How he going to say he must not have known DeJuan? Come on now. Don't play with me, because time is winding up. This is not the time to keep playing with Tonka toys, G.I. Joes. Jesus is soon to come, and it's about that time to be about our Father's business. Can I get a witness in here today? Jesus is simply just letting us know you don't have to bear the load by yourself. If you just come unto me, I'll give you the rest you need. I'll lighten the load. Doesn't mean that you will never have a struggle in your life. No, sir. Please don't. You didn't hear that from me. You will still have troubles. You will still have some trials. You will still have tribulations. But the difference between that tribulation and the other tribulation is that you will deal with it with Jesus. And let me tell you something. When I was looking at 20 years and I was talking to my daddy said, John, he says, son, if you got to go, I'd rather for you to go in with Jesus than to go in there without him. So if I got to do it, let me do it with Jesus. If I got to bear it, let me bear it with Jesus. If I got to walk it, let me walk it with Jesus. If I got to talk it, let me talk it with Jesus. If I got to live down here in this messed up world, I'd rather live down here with Jesus than without Jesus. Can I get, oh, I felt a push right there. Hey, I'd rather do it with Jesus than without Jesus. Come unto me, family. Oh, ye, maybe you're not heavy laden. Maybe you're not wearied enough. Maybe you're not struggling enough. Maybe you don't have enough problems. Maybe you don't have enough issues showing up. Maybe your checking account is always in the positive and you have more money than month. Maybe you just don't need Jesus. I'm going to tell you like this, family. I need him. because there had been too many times if I can just shave some of them days out of that month, I might be all right. If I could I get paid. Can I just put my little business out there? I'm trying to save somebody here. I get paid once a month. Amen. Just once. Amen. And after I get paid sometime around, you know, we used to say about a week later, about 3 hours later. That's how bad this guy, bro. You looking for that other month. Come on, somebody. Anybody in here like me? Anybody looking for that other month? The day after? The next 30 seconds after? Once you did your budget and you looked at your budget and you saw, wait a minute, it ain't adding up. Erase that. Get the dry eraser out and try to start all over again and you're still coming up with the same numbers? I need Jesus. See, Jesus' math and my math don't always math right. See, when I get out the way and let God do what God does, I don't worry about the months. I don't worry about the finances. Because let me tell you something, Jesus takes good care of me. Jesus provides for his. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest from the finances. I'll give you rest from the issues in your body. I'll give you rest from the mental. I'll give you rest from the physical, from the social. I'll give you rest from the psychological. Come unto me, family. Just give it over to me, and I will take care of you. See, we don't want to let go. We wanna be in control. Them folk over there, them church folk over there, I can't let that go. Or I can't let that. Let me tell you something. You can hold on to it if you want to. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to let it go. Because if I can be real in here today, I don't see nothing in this casket other than DeWine. I don't see none of those sharp suits he be wearing. I don't see none of those nice shoes he be wearing. She said, not the shoes. I don't see none of those nice hats he be wearing. You're not taking none of that stuff with you when you leave here. Even the burdens that you're dealing with right now, I don't think he's worrying about anything right here, right now. I don't think he's laying here right now tripping on what's happening tomorrow. I really don't believe the dead know anything, because the word of God tells us that the dead know not anything. Yes, so what is he telling us? We who are alive, that's what who it's dealing with. We walk around this world and we live on this earth and we carry stuff. We mad at folk. We holding this grudge. We holding that grudge. And the reality is we can't take nothing with us when we leave. Come unto me, give it to me, and I'll give you rest. Not only that, this text is calling us to surrender our total being over to Jesus. Jesus wants us to surrender to his control in our lives. That's what he wants. He wants control of your life. And who would you rather have control of your life other than Jesus? Because we have an individual that is trying to run for, that is running for the presidency, and he want to control everything. He want to control everything. And if we ain't careful, he going to find himself in that seat. And when the rubber really meets the road, who you going to turn to? Who you going to call on? And if you don't know him now, what they say, well, if you can't run with the footmen, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? If you can't deal with the little stuff that is going on right now, what are you going to do when they really drop the bomb? He says, give it over to me. Surrender to me. We must surrender our person. We must surrender our partnership over to Jesus. Jesus is simply saying, get in the yoke with me. He is not calling us to walk alone. He is calling us to walk with him. He knows that we cannot live this life on our own. We've been trying it too long, family of God. We can't do it by ourselves. That's the lie that the enemy has been telling us for years. Oh, I got this.
No, you don't. You really don't. I just said, you don't even know me preaching. How are you going to tell? I know the Bible. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And you can't outdo that. There is no way you can change that. There is no way you can flip the script and make that text say something else. So you can't make it by yourself. So Jesus is calling us now. And lastly, he's calling us. He's challenging us to serve him. Jesus tells us to look at his example. He is gentle and humble, completely yielded to the Father's will. Jesus was sent to this world to serve. And while we are not saved by works, we are clearly saved to work. Come unto me and I'll give you rest from all of that stuff. I'll make your days brighter. I'll make your nights more pleasant. You want peace? Come on and give it to me. I got you. I know how to handle it. Matter of fact, I've done it already. When I went to Calvary's cross, I've laid it all down so you wouldn't have to. I bared the nails so you wouldn't have to. I took the scars so you wouldn't have to. I've dealt with the issues and the pain and the backlashes so you wouldn't have to. You don't have to stress anymore. I got you. You just have to let me get you. Let me hold you. Let me walk with you. Let me talk with you. Let me yield over to you my mind and my spirit, because it all worked together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So he says, don't worry about all those things that you can't handle. You can't deal with it anyway, but if you will but just simply let me in, I'll take it. I'll make the crooked road straight. I'll make life pleasant and plush. I'll confuse your enemies while they'll look at you and wonder, how is it that you're able to smile in the midst of this? And you will be able to turn to them and say, it's because of my Jesus. Jesus is keeping me. Jesus is holding me. Jesus is managing me. Jesus is dealing with my issues. So I don't have to lose any more sleep. I don't have to worry about it anymore, because God got it all in the palm of his hands. Everything I need, God got it. I believe the wine has the wine. I believe that when Jesus cracks the sky, one day he will crack the sky. Because as much troubles and trials and issues that we all face, we don't know the real story about any one of our soul salvation. You could look at a person and you can decide whether or not they are saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled and water baptized, and then we find ourselves in the earth made new and you're wondering, where is brother so-and-so? Surely he would be there. Where is Pastor Fields? Oh, I'm a be there though. You gotta look far for me, because I'm gonna be honest with you. I've seen Breakers Dashing. Let me tell you something. I've been through it. I know better. You ain't got to worry about me in this thing called Christianity, because I'm locked and loaded. I took the brakes off. I can't stop if I want to. I'm just rolling with Jesus. If I could get a little help in here, somebody say, help me, Lord. I'm living for him, because I found that there is nobody greater than Jesus. Father God, we are so appreciative of the fact that you chose us. We thank you for the life of the wine. Lord, Father God, there were some struggles, there were some issues, maybe some that he rubbed the wrong way. But at the end of the day, Father God, we believe without a shadow of a doubt that your hand on his life was not a mistake. We can't see what you see, Jesus. So let us not overstep our boundaries and start assuming and start proclaiming and start making assumptions. But let us look to you, Father, the author and finisher of our faith, and let's make this thing personal. We thank you for DeJuan. We thank you for allowing us to come and even say our goodbyes. But some would say it's not a goodbye. It's a see you later. But see, we can only say that, oh God, if we understand and know exactly where we're going when it all boils down. Because everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into thy kingdom. Everybody that's professing the name of Christ is not living the name of Christ. Many of us, oh God, we look the part, but we're not living the life. So, oh God, my strength, my Savior. Hey, I'm just asking you, Father, to help us to be what you want us to be. Use this moment right now, oh God, to break up the fallow grounds. Use this opportunity, Jesus, to help somebody come to an understanding of who you really are. That when we leave this place, we will not leave the same way we came, but we will leave with a newfound love for the things of God. Because you're so amazing. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. Oh, God, you're good to us. So bless the family today. Oh, be with the Owens family, the sisters and the brothers and the daughters and the sons, the grandbaby. Oh, Father, be with the church family, Tabernacle of Praise, and his friends and families, those that have come near and far. Do what you do, God. And we will be ever so mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. And amen again. Can we just praise God right there for a moment or two? Can we just put our hands together? Can we just magnify him? He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, he's worthy. Hallelujah.
Can we have all the pallbearers to meet us in the back in the foyer? All pallbearers, the six men that are, just meet us in the foyer, right there by the steps. Don't go down the steps, please.
Everyone, please just hold your places, please. Please hold your places till we take the family out. There is a repass, so you can meet the family at the repass after we leave the cemetery. And you can love on them and fellowship with them as long as you like. Looks like we're going to Timeless Occasions, located at 11673 West Florissant Avenue. So meet them there. And I can't hear you, my brother. Repeat the address. Okay. Get behind somebody to know where they're going. Let me tell you. So we're going to Timeless Occasions. 673 West Florissant. Okay. Meet them there, man. And you can love on them and fellowship with them and eat some chicken. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. At this time, you're back in the hands of the pastor.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's making me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, comfort me. Amen.
to see y'all tomorrow.